Okay. I just jotted down a couple notes, and I was just going to say a few things, and then every day that just got more and more added to it. Some more got added to it this morning, and so there you go. And this is not. Somehow I didn't print that one verse, but regardless, we'll get there eventually. But more and more people are becoming aware of what's going on. This is beyond human wickedness, and human wickedness is pretty bad. And I've talked about, you know, the spiritual influences. We live in demonic times. And you need to be careful when you get associated with these things, because, okay, here it is, but I'm going to get to it again. But it was in Acts 19. I've had to flip through there to find it. But and I see more and more people are starting to become aware of these things. A fellow who writes in Lou Rockwell this last week is mainly, I would think, would be considered an agnostic, or he did consider himself that, and he talked about just spiritual things here. And I was talked before about Naomi Wolf, who, you know, a liberal feminist, and she's saying, you know what? Here's the thing, and people can become aware of this, but there's danger there as well. These people need to understand it. The only way to stand against this is Jesus Christ. You know, you can recognize things or think there's things, and if you start dabbling in things, you can open yourself up to worse. And the thought that came to my mind yesterday, and put it down this morning, and I'm going to get back to this again before we're done, but I just wanted to mention it. Because people understand there's spiritual wickedness in high places. There's powers and principalities. Paul tells us of that. We can't see them with our natural eyes. Generally, we don't deal with them face to face. We deal with the flesh and blood that they're animating. But we have to deal with it. We can't get all spiritual and say, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so I'm not going to deal with that. You have to deal with that. That's not what Paul's trying to tell us there. But by the same token, some folks think, well, I'll take on the spiritual realm. Let me tell you what. They're more powerful than you. You can't do that in your strength. There was a case of, during the ministry of Paul, when the Lord was healing people and freeing them. There was a very real demonic manifestation during the Lord's first coming and during the ministry of the apostles. And scriptures also indicate, and I'll detail that, there's going to be a growth in that in the end times. Anyway, Acts 19 tells one instance, and I'm going to start reading verse 11 to set it all in context. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And God wrought! So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. And then modern shysters that, you know, are going to send you a handkerchief if you send hundreds of dollars. God wrought this. It was during the ministry of the apostle. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. Well, folks claim they're going to be exorcists and they're going to send the spirits on their way. Well, you better watch that. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. It has to be in the power of Jesus, but it's not a magic talisman, you see. people pray that way sometimes. In the name of Jesus, that means I'm going to get it. That's not what it is. It means when you invoke the name of Jesus, you're invoking His will. Thy will be done and not mine. It's not just some magic talisman. No, folks think it is. A lot of the religious realm thinks that. You say the right ritual and the right liturgy and, you know, these things. Magic stuff. Turn bread into Jesus and magic salvation in the water, you know. They certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of Jesus, saying, "We abjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And they saw what the Lord was doing through Paul in the name of Jesus. They said, "Well, okay, we'll do that too. We'll use that magic. I abjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, this part of Scripture always tickles. Well, in a way. Maybe my perverse mind. But anyway. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Yeah, we know who Jesus is and we know who Paul is, but we don't know who you are. Better watch yourself. There are forces. There is evil. But you can't take it on your own strength. And these people, what concerns me somewhat, who are starting to open their eyes to these things, and unless they see the real need and the real source in Jesus Christ, you know, they're going to open themselves perhaps up to worse. But the Lord's working in their lives and hearts, and I pray He brings them, you know. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious art, witchcraft, pharmakia, which the scripture associates with drugs. And many of them also, you know, make their incantations and their potions. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Now, that's the work of God in the heart. It's manifested by their actions. They didn't want any more to do with this. And when the Lord saves somebody, it's not just repeating a prayer. You know, pray the sinner's prayer. Okay, you're going to heaven. You go live however you were before. That's not God's salvation. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. I should have looked up the value of that. I'm sure that's a pretty big sum. 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now these people were committed. They were sincere. They washed. Say, "Well, I can't afford to do that. I'd like to follow Jesus, but, you know, that's pretty steep." Well, they're showing themselves. And more things, people are showing themselves. So this whole COVID thing, I'm saying things that we have in these notes that are disjointed. But more and more people are showing themselves. And I said that when the whole COVID thing started. It was good. You could tell people with a mask. You know, when you're out walking the street, people, if something came up, who you probably can trust and who you can't. Who's going to be reliable and who won't be? Who's going to be courageous and who won't be? They were wearing it right on their face. Now we're seeing it in the politicians. And Reagan was talking about, you know, cowards. Some folks, a couple folks were supposed to sing at the NRA convention. Again, I don't laud the NRA. They're as big a part of the problem as anything. But anyway, folks were supposed to sing there. That Greenwood guy. I'm proud to be an American. What's wrong with you? Can't you look and see what America is today? You're proud of that? But anyway, he's considered patriotic and whatever. I mean, this guy doesn't show up to the NRA meeting because, you know, it might reflect on him and the bottom line. He doesn't want to burn up those 50,000 pieces of silver. And then the other guy that did American Pie, it was a song I remember from about the time before we were married. There's when it was popular, when we were going out to the Everglades, when you came to visit down south. But anyway, American Pie, whoever that guy is, what's his name?
Don McLean.
Yeah, so he was supposed to say, he didn't show up. I ain't coming. Cowards. Cowards. Don't be cowards, but don't rest in your own strength either. Don't think you can overcome this in your power and your strength. And by using the name of Jesus as a magic talisman, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus like Paul did, that's only going to get you into more trouble. And you're going to be running down the road screaming, naked. That's not a pretty picture either. But I titled this what I was going to talk on today, Demonic Times. And I've had similar sermon titles the last several months, but not exactly this one. Demonic Times. It's increasingly apparent that we are in a spiritual warfare. And because our eyes and flesh can't see those powers, doesn't mean they don't exist. They're more real than you and I are. And generally, we don't deal with them one-on-one. Time may come, I don't know, in these latter days. But we can trust in Christ. We can rely on Him. Generally, they animate flesh and blood. What they don't animate is what these idiots in Washington and other places want to imply. There's evil guns. There's demon rum. There's, you can go on and on. Now, there's not demonic guns. They're not, guns are not demon possessed. Rum, and I've preached recently about, you know, alcohol and abuse of it, and I'm strongly against that, but it's the person that does that. It's not that inanimate object. It's not that tool or that thing which can't even be used for positive good. Not as a beverage, by the way. But anyway, it's not inanimate objects. These idiots in D.C. with evil guns, we've got to go after. They don't even look at the evil in the hearts of the people who've done this and what evil may be behind that. We need to open our eyes and realize what's going on. And again, as Paul wrote the verse we've looked at, and we'll continue, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, those powers behind the throne, those various powers, those various rankings of the demons, Satan. You know, Satan and his demons are all fallen angels. That's what they are. They were created by God, and they rebelled. Here's another free part. You know what their rebellion primarily involved? Was the sin of pride. Satan said, I'm going to be just like God. I'm going to exalt myself just like God. I'm going to be like... You know what this month is? Besides my birthday. At the end of the month. But you know what month this is? Right? You can't help but pick up a paper or turn on the television, even go buy something in the store. They got it on their logos now. This is Sodomite Pride Month. I've got more to say about that later. It's in my notes somewhere. But Sodomite Pride Month. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I love the end of this verse. And having done all, to stand. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand. Not in my own power, not in my own strength. By the whole armor of God. And it's not just these idiots like Biden that we have to deal with. It's what animates him. And not just people like Schwab and those other clowns. Probably shouldn't say clowns, sir. Or evil people. But anyway, you know what I mean. Don't misapply this verse, as I've seen people do, and, you know, try to turn it back to me, that justify not addressing the evil and the wickedness, not addressing the physical and the material and the human opponents. Say, well, we wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't deal with it. Let them go and do their... And you put your children in bondage for the rest of their lives. So, I'm going to talk about that. I kind of think I'm on Father's Day. I haven't done anything on it yet, really. But going back, what Paul was talking about, we've been going through Galatians. Abraham is a father. And, you know, his character and those things he did. He wasn't a perfect man. He had some problems, but we all do. But God used him. And he did a lot of great things. He is the spiritual father of us all, of those who are Christ's. The physical father of Israel. And anyway, see, that's the way my mind works anymore. I just got to deal with it. Don't apply this verse and say, well, you know, we wrestle against flesh and blood, so we shouldn't wrestle against the wickedness that we have to face. Yeah, we should. We have to. That's our sphere of action. And by which we address the spiritual evils that's behind them. On the other hand, you know, this world is opened up to demonic influence. It invites it. It applauds. Has no thought of God, no desire of God. And when you do that, your mind just doesn't stay empty. The scriptures talk about demons being cast out and being all clean in there, and they move in again because it's a nice new clean house. Because there wasn't a spiritual cleanness. There wasn't a new birth that accompanied that. And that passage we often turn to in Philippians, I think, becomes more important for us to dwell upon and think upon. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, I think we've already left out the television and Hollywood and all that stuff, right? Most of the stuff people read. Entertainment they partake of. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, And as I often point out, that speaks of manly virtue, you know. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So again, we look at entertainment, we look at pleasure, we look at big time sports. I mean, just across the board, I was looking at all these different companies that have, all of a sudden, their logos have turned to the rainbow. I guess I saw BMW, several others. Somehow, they didn't change them to the rainbow over in the Muslim countries. But they became the rainbow every place else. What an abomination that is. The rainbow is a promise of God's covenant that He gave after judgment upon the very things that they're celebrating by this rainbow. As I've said before, excuse me while I move out of the way as you fly your rainbow flag. God's still on His throne. Payday someday. We contrast the faithfulness of those who went before us. We reflect upon God's faithfulness in the past, in our own lives. Those things think upon. And you're not going to be thinking upon those by sitting before that television and watching those vile sitcoms and everything else that's coming down the pike. I'm not even aware of them. We still like to watch some of the game shows. I can't hardly do that anymore. You know, they laud all these sodomites on there and these transsexuals and, you know. They're shoving it down your throat is what the idea is. That's all these companies changing their logos for this. They get a whole month, right? Gay Pride Month. There's nothing gay about it and they have nothing to be proud of. That used to be a good old word. I told you before, that old song the Confederates used to sing, gay and happy, gay and happy. We were gay and happy too. Well, you can't always sing that today, can you? If I took a mind to, I think I would anyway. Today, there's generally no thought of God. No thought of His commandments. Doesn't matter. You know, we've got our way. We've decided to do this. Reminds me of Jeremiah 6. I was sharing to that fellow that used to run the U.S. pistol thing, since Bob was talking about, you know, burning out. Said, you know, Jeremiah burnt out. You know, he told God, I quit! You didn't tell me this was going to happen. Of course God did, but Jeremiah wasn't listening. You didn't tell me this. I quit. I ain't going to do this no more. The scriptures tell us the word of God burned in Jeremiah's heart and he could not stay. Now this is another passage from Jeremiah. But Jeremiah 6, people have no thought of God. No thought of His ways. No desire. Why would they want to follow God? That's kind of lucky? That's not very exciting. Yeah, well, I guess fire and brimstone gets pretty exciting. Jeremiah 6, verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. And speaking of false prophets of the day. You know, they just put a band-aid. Put a band-aid on this gashing wound. More like put a band-aid on this dead person. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they're not ashamed. They're proud. And Paul tells us over in Romans 1 about those who have pleasure in them that do those things. That totally identifies our culture. All these companies promoting it. Military, the government, across the board. They take pleasure in those that do those things. Jeremiah condemned those prophets that they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. You know, there's nothing wrong with this, they'll tell you. We're proud of this. We don't blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Yeah, every word of Scripture is true. And God hasn't changed. Continues on. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You want true rest? You want true peace? Walk in God's ways. Some of the saddest words of Scripture, the end of verse 16 says, but they said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. We're not going to do that. Here, folks, is America. God is sovereign. God has ordained all things. Man remains accountable and responsible. They said, we will not walk therein. God's ordained all things. He's predestined all, but you see, these folks don't want to. Some folks point out where the Lord says, you know, I wanted to gather you under wings like chicks, and you would not. They say, well, that proves human ability and that humans. No, that's a further condemnation. He said, you would not. You don't want to. Just like the wicked hands that crucified Christ. They did what the Father ordained, but it was wicked hands that did it. They did what they wanted to do. Scriptures tell us that if God did not intervene in the wickedness of man, it would be worse than it is. They've chosen this path. This is their preference. This is what they desire. This is what they want. We will not walk in, they say. Passage over in Romans 1 that I've alluded to. I saw somebody came up with a Bible reading schedule for June, you know, in honor of Sodomite Pride Month. The Bible reading schedule for June was June 1, Romans 1, June 2, Romans 1, June 3, Romans 1, on down through the whole month of June. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they want to. I don't want to think about God. That's inconvenient. That's scary. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He turned them over to what they already were and what they desired. He turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's an interesting way to put it. But they're not. They're not natural. Oh, you get in trouble for saying that. This stuff's unnatural. It is unnatural. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, That covers a lot of things. I suppose it would cover the whole sodomite thing, but more than that, these mothers that kill their own offspring in their womb without natural affection. It's unnatural. Implacable. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but take pleasure in them that do them. We applaud it. We embrace it. Well, our culture does. Not me. And so here you got, you know, Gay Pride Month. They want to promote sodomite history. You want to promote sodomite history? Let's begin with Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew round about. Now, just a little context. You know, what was going on here, in case you wonder what Sodom, where Sodomite comes from, Gomorrah. Remember when the angels came and visited Lot in his home? I mean, they appeared as men. He asked the men, put them up. But before, verse 4 of chapter 9, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. I mean, all of them. I like people my age that embrace this stuff and promote that stuff and say it doesn't, you know. Women Diane's age with all that color stuff. Pink and purple and green and stuff in their hair. Men, my age, big old earrings. And it used to be right or left. Now they just wear both of them. Like the women they are. Whole tattoo things and whatever. Here it was. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter. You would think some people would have grown up. People my age would act their age. And they called unto Lot, and they said, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Speaks of carnal knowledge. In the positive sense, we read of Adam knew his wife, and it speaks of the God-ordained relationship between a man and a woman. Here speaks of the carnal, perverted relationship between folks of the same sex. Bring them out that we may know them. And we know, if you read the whole story, I'm not going to go into that now, Lot's shameful behavior. He said, well, you know, I got some daughters. Just take them instead. They said, no, we want those men. Here's the one thing I'll close on. They're still celebrating Gay Pride Month, those folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude, who was half-brother of our Lord, one of the children of Mary and Joseph after our Lord had been born. Jude writes in his little epistle, it's only one chapter, in verse 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That opens a lot of things. Some of them, I trust, we don't like to even think of. But that's the way man was. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah was. Going after strange flesh. Are set forth for an example. And then Jude says this, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, they're still suffering the vengeance of fire, those folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're still celebrating Gay Pride Month. Paul goes on in Romans, and I said I was going to wrap it up, but again, he talks about men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. It's sickening. It's perverse. It's unnatural. Strange flesh. And yet they want to teach kids, that's okay, that's all right. It's not. I really will end on this one, but I saw this week. Of course, our friend Dennis had to send me an email about it and a link about how the Marine Corps was celebrating Gay Pride Month. And they've gotten some of their materials now. There's a battle helmet camouflaged, and it's got bullets in the sideband, and they're rainbow bullets. The Marine Corps. I told Dennis, I said, don't you dare tell Chesty about it. But, of course, Chesty Fuller was the Marine's Marine from whatever, if anybody knows. But Marine Corps, you say, well, yeah, but what? I tell you, yeah, but what? That's the people they want in the Marine Corps today. That's the people that'll come and have no compunction with shooting you in the chest and taking your guns. Because they want to do that anyway. Because you're one of those vile Christians. You're one of those haters that loves God. That is what they want. That is what we've become. That is what we're coming to. And very quickly. Very quickly. Our God is still on the throne. He is more powerful than any. He is over all. And the scriptures tell us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our trust, our assurance is in Christ. Keep our mind and our focus on him. We can't overcome, but he has, and he will. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you better have him in you if you're going to try to stand against all this demonic and spiritual things that are facing us today. Because you can't do it in your own power. You can't do it if you're a nice religious guy like some of these folks that are associated with the priesthood. Said, we're gonna cast demons out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Well, you better know Jesus. That's what you better do. And may the Lord work in lives and hearts. And those who seem to be aware, becoming aware of these things that are going on, may he bring them to their realization that they need a Savior. That they're lost and undone without one. Okay, we'll wrap it up there this week, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. To the work! And indeed, that's what we're called to do until he comes back and takes us home. To the work, to the work. Number 326. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. 326.
To the work, we are servants of God, let us follow. strength to live. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on,
toiling on.
Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, to the work, let the hungry be fed, to the fountain of life, let the weary be led, in the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on,
toiling on,
let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the word, to the word, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall, and the name of Jehovah exalted shall be. In the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on,
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 toiling on.
Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the word, to the word, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. In the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shout with the ransom, salvation is free. Toiling on,
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 toiling on.
Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, as we mark our Savior's victory over death, his completed atonement for his people, making their salvation free. For Lord, there's nothing we could have paid. We thank you that he accomplished all, that as he said, it is finished. Father, we thank you for the times that you've brought us to, even as they trouble our minds and hearts and spirits. But we realize, Lord, that you've brought us to the kingdom for a time such as this. May we stand as you would have us to. May we speak your truth. May we resist evil of the day. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Lord, for the young folk, Reagan, for the Gregories, pray you watch over them as they travel home. Brother Hal, as he travels home and as he travels at the end of this week to attend the wedding of his son and new daughter-in-law. Father, may it be a blessed time. May you knit their hearts together. May you open the path before them to walk with them. Pray, Lord, for Adam and Melissa as they're in Chicago. You keep them safe there. You bring them safely home. Watch over the Gregory children until their parents return. with Adam II as seeks to minister to his siblings. Father, help us to be faithful in the tasks you set before us. Help us to labor by your grace faithfully till you come. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for his completed atonement. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.